Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
The last thing they saw was someone they trusted. You're tuned in to Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, featuring retired FBI special agent and chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, Robin Dreek.
Luigi Mangione, he's a 26-year-old Pennsylvania graduate charged now in the murder of UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson, fatally shot December 4th outside of his Manhattan hotel. It's been a very, I don't even know what the words are. A shocking, very confused response, I think, from the American public on this. And that's what I want to talk about. Robin Dreek, retired FBI special agent, chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program. Let's start with the public's reaction to this. And we can go back a little bit more into who Luigi Mangione is. But the public's reaction to a execution of a CEO in broad, well, evening light, you know, on the streets of New York, people are looking at this guy like a vigilante hero. And I understand everybody's hate of the healthcare system. I hate it too. I've had many nightmares dealing with it. Many people have lost people because of the healthcare system denying coverage and such. So I think the overall feel from the public on this is, well, these thousands of people who were left to die by the healthcare company saying, we're not going to cover this. Why should we care about this? Very harsh, and something I don't think we've seen very often on this sort of a scale. What's been your reaction to that?
Oh, it's a lot of tendrils and nuances to this case. So looking at the reaction, and you said public reaction. Mm-hmm. I'm going to kind of zero in on the a segment of that public reaction that is the one that is getting the most attention. And because I've been doing a lot of examining of this on four other shows as well. Because the big question is, why?
Yeah.
What's causing this? And so let's look at, and so if you look at TikTok, you look at social media, look at the individuals that are idolizing him.
Yeah.
Generally, you're seeing people with a very similar mindset. So let's do our hypothesis that one of the reasons why he struck out and murdered the CEO of UnitedHealthcare was he's got an issue with healthcare. Mm-hmm. You know, 26 years old, just came off his parents' plan, had an injury. Although we're going to get into this as well, hopefully, because I don't think that's the entire picture here.
Yeah.
But the people that are also that seem to be rallying behind him, that are intrigued by him, that are celebrating him, are other generally 26 years old. That are kind of celebrating and the anti-conformist group, and they're the anti-capitalist group. Mm-hmm. And so you have a wound, and we've said this before too, we've had some wound collectors. We've had some people that are not into the good, healthy problem-solving skills. Mm-hmm. They see someone that's got, and I've heard this from multiple dating experts online too, watching this, you know, say, here's someone who's good-looking, who's charismatic, who's taking action. And he's validating my self-opinion on what I think about capitalism and what I think about the healthcare system. And now he becomes my icon up here because he's dehumanized and objectified the CEO. This was not about murdering an individual. This was about attacking an institution.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why it's easy for these people celebrating him because they don't see him as murdering an individual. They see him as trying to battle as a social warrior against this horrendous capitalist group here that's taking advantage of others.
Mm-hmm.
So that is in general the reason why you're getting a lot of this. And then you have social media on top of that highlighting this.
Yeah.
Highlighting that status. And so now part of my fear here is also people that are in this victim mentality and wound collecting kind of mentality, they're seeing someone who took this heinous act of murder and being celebrated.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of thing that creates copycats as
well.
Yeah. So there's a lot of unhealthy behavior, I think, from unhealthy people that aren't necessarily the best problem solvers that are celebrating someone that had zero healthy problem solving skills of something he faced in life or mm-hmm. something he knew people were facing in life, because he went from zero to murder. Mm-hmm. Never the right answer whatsoever.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's my pontificate on that one.
No, and it's just been fascinating because this is not just people going, oh, you know, the system, you know, we're talking about a human being here. But again, everybody kind of looks at the system like this man represented the system. And in some ways he did. He was the CEO of United Healthcare. But still, obviously, it's a human life that has, you know, a personality and family and friends. And, you know, he may represent a company you don't like, but obviously he's a human being. But people get so caught up in this to the point of, we're seeing his jacket that he was wearing now sold out at many outlets with which it was sold. We're seeing people making T-shirts and things online and selling them. I mean, Amazon has shut down several stores now where people were creating their own merch for this, celebrating what this guy was representing. That's more than you know, just the, oh, well, I kind of get it. And you walk away going, well, that's horrible, but I kind of... like, I'm going to get merch for this. That's like another level of celebrating this, where you're like going to wear the same stuff he was wearing in solitude with him.
Yeah. In other words, you're celebrating and supporting capitalism.
Yeah.
By someone who's actually anti-capitalistic. And, no. And here's what I think the media did a really poor job as well on this case, which allowed people to kind of celebrate. Because even the way we're talking about it, he was anti-establishment. He's going after, you know, this figurehead mm-hmm. of this company, and that's what he was doing. Well, let's look at his behavior for a second. I don't think that's what he did at all.
How so?
So again, Robinson conjecture from the data points we have. So he leaves handwritten, or he etched things on casings.
Yeah.
That is a look at me moment.
Yep.
He handcrafts or 3D prints a gun that he holds on to. That's a look at me moment. He does a lot of things and that are look at me. Mm-hmm. His arc from what we've seen from people talking about him, he's valedictorian. He's the whiz kid. He's got all these things of him being the center of attention. I've had psychiatrist friends of mine that said this was an ego moment. I mean, and I don't think anyone doubts that the things he was doing was look at me, look at me, look at me. That smile, the flirting with that individual at the hostel, mm-hmm. that's an ego moment. If he was actually on mission to do a mission, he would have been about the mission and not about look at me. Mm-hmm. Not leaving a backpack with Monopoly in money in it. Look at me. So there's a lot of ego being driven by his life arc, all right? Because from his data points, he's leaving. Now, I thought about this in the last 24 hours. So let's do our thought experiment here. Here's someone who's 26 years old. He has what we've heard is a bad back injury. Mm-hmm. Well, that may not have required surgery. We don't know the details of this, but a bad back injury. And people are saying that because he had this bad back injury, he's 26 years old, off his parents' insurance policy, he's going to get back at the man. All right. So if you have parents like his parents that are as wealthy as they are, that have as much money and resources as they have, that closest of the family is what it was until I just learned this morning that the mother had put out a missing person report on the son about 6 months ago. Wouldn't you as a parent with that kind of resource not worry about the life, the health insurance you had for your kid? Would you not take care of that? Mm-hmm. I don't think that was it. So if you had resources in your parents that could have actually mitigated that problem for you personally, what was this about? If it wasn't about this personally for you, what was it about? Mm-hmm. The only other data we have is ego. And then you capitalize, when this all transpire, it all happened. This shift in his life where he went from zero to 100 happened on this Hawaii. Something was going on in Hawaii. He goes to Hawaii, falls off the grid. His parents put out a missing person thing. And then on Jesse Waters' show on Fox the other night, he interviewed this kid's roommate. Mm-hmm. And they're talking about the Ted Kaczynski book, that the book club that he read. And he's quoting in his manifesto that he left behind mm-hmm. for his ego. Mm-hmm. And in that, he's talking about all these things that were all about getting back to the system, all this. And interesting came out was the roommate said, I gave him that idea. And Waters like, it wasn't his idea? No, that was my idea. I thought it'd be a good idea to read this book. And he goes, oh yeah, our book club read all these kinds of books that are kind of socialist, anti-capitalist kind of books. Mm-hmm. Huh. So you had a group of people that are talking about anti-capitalism. He's got an instance in his life that is demonstrating how the system's failing. And he's now kind of fallen off the grid, no longer having I love me moments. I don't know. And he kept the gun, and he was on a laptop when they found him in the McDonald's. Yeah. And again, why are you in a McDonald's if you're trying to be hidden?
Yeah.
In my mind, he's battling between trying to say, look at me, maybe even looking at himself and what they're doing online, and trying to remain hidden. And for what purpose? I haven't heard anyone else say it though. Why hold on to that gun? You and I have, every single case you and I have covered, the first thing the murderer does is get rid of the murder weapon, mm-hmm. especially if it's a 3D printed gun. You just make another one.
Yeah.
He's going to do it again. As soon as his notoriety started falling out, mm-hmm. do you not think he was going to do it again? Especially since it doesn't look like it was personal against this guy. It was against the symbol. This kid's all about symbols.
Yeah.
He's got lots of symbols all around him, the symbols that keep directing people back to him. So my conjecture on this, pure conjecture, is that this was an ego-driven moment. Driven by a life arc of ego. Something happened. I had another doctor that mentioned that he was curious about the pain meds he might have been on for his back as well, that might have been exasperating any kind of chemical imbalances in his brain. He had a bunch of people that are not necessarily anarchists, but are book study guys that are talking about all these things that are anti-capitalism. I don't know. That's what I'm seeing on this.
I'm wondering, you know, if this is a young guy, again, like you were saying, you know, he just he's a graduate student, but very much, I don't think lived much of life in the world or experienced what it's like to be an adult. Especially if you're on your parents' insurance, like right up until now, you haven't experienced much of life. And if you were, and again, this is just my conjecture and my speculation. If you're kind of a snowflake, if you're kind of sheltered most of your life and suddenly you're seeing the harsh reality of what the world is and you're already kind of imbalanced and easy enough to be influenced to go down one of these roads and extremely egotistical, narcissistic. It seems like an extremely narcissistic snowflake that was finally exposed to the world and thought that they were going to do justice. They're going to do what nobody else did. And nobody else has done it because that's insane. And there's ways of dealing with the stuff other than that. But as I say to so many things, young and dumb, I think that played a big role in all of this with the other factors that he felt justified in.
I mean, you can, you know, again, doing the empathy here where we're putting ourselves in their shoes. So I'm imagining here I am, I'm in a book study, we're talking about this book and you're sitting around a bunch of people that are validating each other mm-hmm. and him saying, or someone saying, man, someone ought to just take out these CEOs and do something about it. And them all sitting around saying, yeah, man, someone should do it. And he's like, I'll do it. Yeah. And they're like, oh man, you're the man. So again, probably not. Robin likes to go way out on a limb on some of the conjecture here, but you can imagine that kind of scenario building out with someone like you're saying, with that kind of background and a zero problem solving skill set and no life experience, falling off the grid from his parents, who seemingly before this, you know, might have been a good positive influence in his life and other people in his life because people are saying they liked him.
Yeah.
Unhappy people don't do bad things. Mm-hmm. And he didn't seem unhappy until he went to Hawaii.
Yeah.
Something happened in that time frame. So that's where, as investigators, I'm going to be zeroing in. I'm going to be establishing that baseline and arc in his life and see where we went sideways.
How concerned are you about copycats with something like this?
Yeah.
There's shootings all the time. And, you know, yes, we do have copycat things, but it's rare to see, just like I said, a good chunk of the general public being rah-rah about this, looking at the guy as Robin Hood. I'm honestly surprised we haven't seen more of this sort of stuff going on, but sometimes when the floodgates open, they open. And I'm wondering if this is beginning, you know, to open up that floodgate of pitchfork-wielding people that are going to try and take matters into their own hands since the system has failed them.
I am concerned on copycats on this one. A mitigator of that would be how the press is covering it. Mm-hmm. you know, they need to not celebrate him. They, and people that are celebrating him and idolizing him need to be shut down and not propagated through social media. The thing that is on the positive side of this is the population that is celebrating him, that would be the copycats, are the wound collectors, are the victims, you know, the ones that see themselves as victims. They are generally not good, healthy problem solvers. And so they actually are, they, a lot of times those people fear the start, I call it. And so the start would be taking action to do something so radical, so drastic. One of the reasons why this type of group celebrates someone like him, because they don't have a lot of courage to do it themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have the threat of the copycat because of the celebrity notoriety he's getting, but the types of people that would do it generally are afraid of doing that kind of action. So I'm hopeful, but as long as the media keeps from celebrating him and highlighting these people that are celebrating him, I'm hoping that part of it will stamp down and people come out and say, listen, this was horrendous, and portray, because remember, look where all the attention is. You and I talk about this all the time too. It's all on the criminal.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the victim. Let's talk about his family. Let's talk about, you know, the lives that have been destroyed by him. And I've heard this guy's a self-made guy. Mm-hmm. He did a lot of good things in his community. He was a great person.
Yeah.
No one's talking about him, barely at all, like this. They're all talking about this idiot that murdered someone. So let's shift from the perpetrator of heinous things, and let's get on to the victim, the family, and all the other people that are impacted by this. So that, I think, will also help the copycats from not arising.
Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
Let's be honest. Nothing kills the thrill of a good murder mystery like a commercial for laundry detergent. It's like someone slapping a closed sign on your favorite dive bar. But you're not here for that, are you? You're here for the good stuff. So ditch the ads and upgrade to True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts. With True Crime Today Premium Plus, you get your crime straight. No chaser. Commercial free with extended interviews and early access. It's like getting the bartender's special when the bar's already closed. Search for True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe and drink it all in.